We've been learning lessons from them. We have read from Luke chapter 10 the last 2 weeks, along with several other scriptures. But as we come back there tonight, I want us to look in verse 42, where the Lord is speaking to Martha, and he says, "One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that part which shall not be taken away from her." One of the lessons that we looked at last week was a lesson on the fact that we should prefer others above ourselves. But there's another lesson here that I want to point out right out of that particular verse, or verse 42, and that is this. It's a lesson on the importance of worship. Now, I appreciate everything that Martha did. And quite honestly, I can understand her feelings about her sister. I don't think they're that bizarre to feel that way about your sister in the situation that they were in. I don't think it's wrong to expect your sister to help out with the guest. I think it would be kind of... Some of you are the same way. If you have a few people living at home, some of you are single, so you don't, and you go out, you come in the evening this time of year, and the snow's still on the porch. The shovel's sitting right there. It's like no one could grab a shovel and move the snow out of the way. See, why not? The shovel doesn't fit their hand, and what's the problem? So in that sense, we can all be a little bit like Mary. Say, well, why didn't somebody take out the garbage? I come home 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and the garbage isn't meant to. So you relate to Martha in more ways than you realize that you relate to Martha sometimes. Now, if you live alone, you're single or whatever, that those things don't cross your mind because you're it. I mean, everything is on your shoulders. But sometimes it's like, couldn't someone else do something? And so I think how Martha feels here, I don't know that it's necessarily abnormal or unusual for anybody to feel that way. But it does say in verse 42 that what Mary did evidently was better, because Jesus said Mary hath chosen that good part. She chose something that seemed to be better. Now, this is all I really want to say. It's not all I'm going to say, but this is what I want to get across. She discovered the one thing that was needful was this: true worship. You know what I need? I need to worship God. You need to worship God. A devoted heart that gives its attention and focus to Christ. It was a higher priority. And in this case, with Mary and Martha, it was a higher priority even than Martha's service. And the good part that Mary had chosen would not be taken away from her, even for the sake of something as gracious and as beneficial as helping Martha prepare our Lord a meal and the other guests there a meal. That's beneficial. That's profitable. But this worship was more important. And Mary's humble, obedient heart was a far greater gift to Christ than Martha's well-meaning meal. And I think, I was up here looking for that prayer letter, and there it is. I never even saw it sitting there. There, good. I think that sometimes we get the focus wrong once in a while. I do. And sometimes it's a good idea just to sit at the feet of the Lord and learn from Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I really think what Mary did was a higher priority. There's nothing more important than listening to Christ. There's nothing more important than honoring Him with our hearts and our lives. Remember, the Lord was talking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 and verse 23. And the Lord told her, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." And then the last phrase of the verse says this: "For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." The Father is seeking people that will be true worshipers of God. That's what the Lord wants from us. The Lord found one in Mary, a true worshiper. He found a true worshiper in her. He did not, reprimand Martha's all that hard, because it was Mary, but he did reprimand her. But it was Mary, not Martha, who properly understood the importance of true worship and learning about the Savior. It's easy to get caught up in busyness when there has to be a time in my life and in your life for worship. All of us need to be careful that we do not lose the importance of worship. Our service cannot replace our worship. And our good works cannot replace the best works. And we just read earlier a passage of scripture from James chapter 2 that talks about our good works. They are important. They are authentic expressions of genuine faith. I understand all of that. But so is worship. And when people say, I don't need to go to church. Well, yes, you do. There's private worship and there's public worship. And you need to be in church. You're here tonight. But there's an awful lot of people that don't think they need to be in church. There's one fellow that he hasn't done it in a while, but he used to stop by the church office about once a month. I'm not sure why, but he did. And he seemed like he always wanted to talk about the fact that you didn't need a church. Now, I have never figured out why he would stop by a pastor of a local church to tell him we don't need a local church. But anyway, that's what his goal was in talking to me. His name was Nathan. I have no idea where he is at now or where he even lives. But he used to do that all the time. And he was insistent. You don't need a church. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to worship at a church. He was insistent on that. All of us need to be careful that we don't lose sight of the importance of worship. Good works, deeds, charity that we might have a part in, acts of kindness, they are all crucial expressions of real faith. That's what James 2 said. But they must flow from a true reliance on God's greatness and an absolute love for Him. You should do what you do because you love the Lord. Not just to say, I'm busy serving the Lord. Martha loved the Lord. There's no question about that. Her faith was real. Her faith was genuine. But she became, and this is what we have to watch. She became spiritually unbalanced. If we get self-righteous, Martha did, we'll get unbalanced, just like her. You can become unbalanced the other way and not do anything for the Lord. But that wasn't the case in this text. She also missed something somehow that Mary got. When the Lord said, you will not always have me with you. You know, Martha didn't seem to understand that the Lord wouldn't be around physically on the earth forever. Mary seems, in my opinion, to have grasped a little bit of that. So this is a remarkable opportunity for Martha or anybody else, as far as that goes, to sit at the feet of Jesus. You cannot replace public worship. You cannot replace private worship by your doing good things. And while they are important, and while all of us should serve God, and while all of us should have good works as a part of our life, I'm not saying they're not necessary. They do not overrule worship. And I'll also add this. They don't overrule sound doctrine. They just don't. To sit and learn the Bible is critical for everybody. Everybody. All of us. Martha's much serving was a distraction from the one thing that was most needful. Listening to and hearing from the Lord. Somehow she missed that. Proper good works do flow from faith. James 2 talks about they are the fruit of genuine faith. What we do is vital. I'm not diminishing that. How I live my life and how you live your life is critically important because that is the evidence that our faith is a living, real, vibrant faith. James 2, 14 through 26 told us that. But faith must come first, and it is the foundation of lasting works. There was a fellow that used to come. He didn't stick around church here long. He drove a long way. I called his previous pastor. He asked me several questions. Boy, he knew this guy like he knew the back of his hand. He asked several questions and said, yeah. Yep, that's what he does. That's exactly what he does. He'd come by, and he was in services here for maybe a couple months. And everything he did, he'd point out. Pastor, I came in, there was a piece of paper on the floor. I picked that up today. I thought, that's nice. You know, you might mention that maybe once. But if he did anything, ever, he mentioned it. And it was like he wasn't here to really worship God. It was here to show that he could do a few little tasks, and he could, and he did. But that's all that he was consumed with. And it wasn't when he came here from a real good pastor friend of mine in Syracuse. He moved from Syracuse over, and he moved north, so he came here for a while. And he did the same thing there. And he always hinted like, you know, maybe someday I could be a deacon. By the way, very few people ever hint at stuff like that. It just was very bizarre and very odd. But he had this, he was totally out of balance. Faith must come first. And that is the foundation to all of our lasting works. Martha was acting like her work was the most important thing that there was, and that somehow God needed her. And I know I just preached a couple of weeks ago or so and said, God doesn't really need me, and God doesn't really need you. It's a privilege to serve God, and we ought to serve God from our heart. Now, let me add this. Never think that our works for Christ are higher than His work for us. Don't get your eyes messed up. I mean, do you know what I mean by that? Your focus sometimes can get in the wrong place. It isn't what you do. It's what He's done. That gives you a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. And when we talk about worship, gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord are critical, critical elements. Never think that our works for Christ are higher than His work for us. Don't allow your work to override your gratitude over what He's done. And by the way, what He will do for you. You see, it's easy for us to identify with Martha. We know it's a privilege to serve the Lord. You probably relate to this, but God has given me more than enough to stay busy. I have all I need to do to stay busy. And so it's tempting to get caught up in the activity of ministry and forget that faith and worship must always have priority over our work. When I was in Bible college, several professors stressed this. Don't let your college classes replace your personal devotion time. Don't let your college classes replace your own personal worship with the Lord. I still read my Bible. I happened to preach a few sermons from 1 Kings recently and started working on another one today because I just read it in my own personal devotions and was just blessed. But I don't do that a lot. I read the Bible for my own personal benefit. I try to worship God for my own personal benefit. Let me add this. Sitting under the ministry of the Word of God is an awesome privilege. To lift your voice in song, even songs that you don't know, and Brother Gamut or Brother Glazier bring up, is like, what in the world are we singing here now? But it is a privilege, and it is an honor. To pray with thanks in your heart like you will do tonight and like you sang about a moment ago, that is a privilege. To pray with thanks in your heart, that is true worship. Those who are like Martha do well to cultivate a little bit more of Mary's worshipful listening spirit and less of Martha's busyness. But don't get unbalanced the other way, but that doesn't happen to be this text. Now let me just say this. Of these two, you can notice that God calls and uses all kinds of people. And as we looked a couple, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, at Luke chapter 7, from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of personalities and all kinds of temperaments. And there are some people that I wish my temperament was a little bit more like theirs. So he's passed away now and gone to heaven. But Brother Suits, I don't know that Brother Suits had a mean bone in his body. I used to think, man, I wish I had more of his temperament. He's like the nicest guy ever. And Brother LaSalle, who recently we had his funeral, went home to be with the Lord, he was always chipper. He was always happy. He 75 years old, he could jump up in the air and click his feet like that. I'm thinking, man, I'd like to be able to do that. I don't know if I can do that or not, but I'll probably try it someday when there's nobody around watching, just in case I can't. But it just, you know, they had some quality traits and some temperaments about them that would be good for all of us. And Martha and Mary, they're different. They're different kinds of people. Their personalities are different. But God uses them all. And I think it's awesome. Martha's a very godly woman with a servant's heart. She had a very, very rare capacity, especially in our age, to work. Mary was into worship and learning. Both are godly ladies. And together, and the three passages that we looked at show them together. Together, they are wonderful ladies to follow. We ought to desire to have the best traits of both of them in our lives. I sometimes think that we look at busyness as more vital than worship. But it really isn't. It really isn't. You can get so busy that you won't read your Bible. You don't have time. You can get so busy that you won't grab a prayer list and pray through it, you don't have time. You're just too busy. You know when you're too busy, by the way, if you don't have time to do those two things. You're just too busy. I have a personal prayer list on my desk for different pastors that I pray for and different needs that but the pastors have shared at pastors' conferences in different places, that I just take time out of whatever I'm doing, and it sits right here, and I just pray through that. It's not super long, and it doesn't take me a real long time to do it, but we just take time to do those things. If you don't have time to sit at the master's feet, you need to change your schedule somehow. And I don't know your schedule, so I can't tell you how. I just know you need to adjust it so you have time. Well, Father, it's a very simple Bible study. Basically, out of that one phrase at the end when you were talking to Martha, when Mary chose that good part that shall not be taken away from her. May we that are assembled here tonight see the importance of worship in our lives. I know sometimes we all can get so busy that it's neglected. Lord, forgive us. And help us to find the proper balance. Martha seemed to be imbalanced. And I pray that we would find the proper balance of worship and works. And let all of the things that we do, all the good works, all the charitable things that we do, be that which flows from a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. Even your word tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, we can make all kinds of, do all kinds of things, but if we have not charity, it profits us nothing. We can even be like useless noise. So help us to see and help us to put worship in a proper place. In Jesus' name, God help us. Amen. Well, I'm going to grab these missionary letters. By any